my name is Glenn from Infants on Thrones, and you'll never believe what happened to me. One night, as I was kneeling down to pray, I bumped my knee on a really hard rock.
Ow!
And when I looked down to get rid of that damn thing, that damn thing was glowing. So I put it down in my crotch and stuffed my face down real close, and holy cow, you guys, you'll never guess all the groovy things I can see now.
I don't care what you say anymore, this is my life. Go ahead with your own life, leave me alone.
This is Infants on Thrones.
Minisode.
The New Book of Abraham, Infant Styles, Chapter 2. Hey everybody, remember me? It's the writings of the real Abraham, as revealed to me through my real peepstone, Erastus. And it's finally time to continue our story with Chapter 2. But first, let's recap Chapter 1, shall we? Chapter 1. The real writings of real Abraham while he was really in Egypt, really written by his own real hand upon real papyrus. He was born and raised in Ur of the Chaldees, thousands of miles and thousands of years away from Pharaoh in Egypt, and yet they still somehow had the same religion and the same priests and the same gods, even the made-up ones. Abraham was good. Everyone else was bad. They tried to sacrifice him, but God stepped in and saved him. And now for the rest of the story. Chapter 2. Gotta be honest, this chapter is sort of boring. It's where the real Abraham, me, leaves Ur to go to the sort of racist black land of the black Canaanites. But Jehovah appears to me at Haran, and all gospel blessings are promised to me and to you guys reading this. You who are me, my, the real Abraham's real literal blood seed. And through you guys, my real literal blood seed, God's blessings can go forward to everyone. Because trust me, you don't want all those blessings just directly from God. He's super intense, so I'll take the brunt of that for you. So in this sort of boring chapter, I'm going to hit all the major tourist spots through Canaan and other places on the way to Egypt, and I'll snap a few more facsimile photos for you guys, which, I don't know, maybe I'll include for you to look at. And then I'm going to move on to Egypt so that I can write this papyri and have it be discovered by Tomb Raiders sometime in the distant future and delivered across two continents and an ocean that I'm pretty sure is out there to this awesome dude, Joseph Smith, in Kirtland, Ohio, USA, aka Promised Land, the sequel, part one. And this Joseph guy is probably the only person ever born throughout time on this earth who's more bigger and more better than me, and better at just about almost everything. So this record will be given to him by a traveling salesman so that he can translate it into English, so that you guys, my literal seed, can all feel pretty big and important too. And if you think this brief summary is long and boring, just wait for the next 25 verses, which really don't add much to my story but filler. And oh yeah, I really want to drill in how important God says that we all are. That's going to be pretty huge as we go forward. So, here we go.
You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around.
Verse 1. Now the Lord my God, not to be confused with the Lord Vader or the Lord Voldemort or Little Lord Fauntleroy or any other Lord for that matter, the God one. Well, he caused, in his great, meek, and loving fury, a terribly benevolent famine to wax sore in the land of Ur. And if you thought Brazilian wax was painful, man, sore famine waxing is even worse. And my brother died. Did I tell you that I had a brother? His name was Haran, which sort of explains why the land of Haran is called Haran today, which maybe you didn't know already from that other history written about me in that other book of so-called biblical scripture called the Bible, which I have on pretty good authority you guys will probably already have in your day, but will only be as true as it's translated correctly and can never even be as remotely close to true as this account that I'm writing right now with my own hand is. But yeah, my brother died.
Verse 2.
And it came to pass that I, the real Abraham, took the real Sarai to wife. And by took, I mean we had sex. A lot of sex. really fantastic desert sex. And I don't mean to brag or anything, but, well, I'm going to let you lady readers out there in on a little secret. Prophets of God make the best lovers. So, you know, ladies, if the opportunity ever arises, I'm just saying. And oh yeah, Nahor, my other brother, who hadn't died yet, took Milcah to wife, who was the daughter of Haran, which means he married his niece, which may sound a little weird to you guys, but look, she was almost 15, so it's all good. Keep that in mind too.
Verse 3.
Now the Lord had said unto me,
Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee.
Seriously, he actually said that, for real. That's just how he talks. Weird, right?
Verse 4.
Therefore I left the land of Ur, of the white and delightsome Chaldees, to go into the land of black and not so delightsome Canaan. And I took Lot, my brother's son, and his wife, and Sarai, my wife, and also my father followed after me unto the land which I already told you that we called Haran. And look, I know this isn't all that exciting, but sometimes you just gotta do what God says you gotta do just because he tells you to. Even the boring stuff, like home teaching and collecting fast offerings, just do it.
Verse 5.
And the famine abated, which pretty much means that it sort of ended. And my father tarried in Haran, because tarrying is sort of what my father liked to do. And he dwelt there, because there were many flocks in Haran. And I probably shouldn't tell you this, but my wicked dad had a thing for sheep. Which is what happens when you're wicked, and it all starts by redefining marriage.
Verse 6.
But I, Abraham, and Lot, my brother's son, like I told you before, prayed unto the Lord by kneeling down and closing our eyes and opening the right way and first saying the things that we were thankful for and then asking for all the stuff that we wanted and then closing it in the right way, because God won't really listen any other way. And the Lord appeared unto me, and he said unto me,
Arise and take Lot with thee. He's thy brother's son, remember? Because look, I have purposed to take thee away out of Haran, and to make of thee a minister to bear my name in a strange land, which, get this, I will totally just give to you and to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. I said everlasting. It's yours, man, by divine right, as long as you and your seed always hearken to my voice. And well, I might as well tell you, I tried getting the people who live there already to hearken to my voice, but they think hearkening is for babies, so I'm not going to choose them. And also, because they're black.
Verse 7.
For I am the Lord thy God. I dwell in heaven, the earth is my footstool. I stretch my hand out over the sea, and it obeys my voice. I cause the wind and the fire to be my chariot. I say to the mountains, Depart hence! And behold, they're taken away by a whirlwind in an instant, suddenly. Really, it's super important to me that you don't confuse me with any of those other lords that aren't quite as powerful as I am.
Verse 8.
And I may as well tell you, my name is Jehovah. Nice to meet you. And I know the end from the beginning. Therefore, my hand shall be over thee. I don't really know what my omniscience has to do with my hand being over you forever, but it sounds all biblical and stuff, so just go with it.
Verse 9.
And I'm also super excited to make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee above measure. Strike that, above measure. Above everyone and everything else, and make thy name great among all nations, and thou shalt be a blessing unto thy seed after thee, and in their hands shall they bear this ministry and priesthood unto all nations, who, don't forget, are way less awesome than you, and way less awesome than your big and important seed, who I bet are probably reading this right now, and feeling all warm and special because of this affirmation of their incredible specialness.
Verse 10.
And I will bless them through thy name, for as many as receive this gospel shall be called after thy name, and shall be accounted thy seed, even if they aren't exactly the direct literal blood descendants, like I made a point of highlighting earlier. Even the adopted ones will rise up and bless thee as their father.
Verse 11.
And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and give candy to those who give candy to me, and give Indian birds and noogies to those who give Indian birds and noogies to me, and in thee, that is, in thy priesthood, and in thy seed, that is, in thy priesthood, I will give unto thee a promise that this right shall continue in thee, and in thy seed after thee, that is to say, the literal seed, or the seed of the body, even though I just said that it doesn't really matter all that much because of the whole adoption thing. But through you shall all the families of the earth be blessed, even with the blessings of the gospel, which are the blessings of salvation, even of life eternal, which only comes through the priesthood, which only you and your seed will hold, which is pretty much what makes you all so great, or at least the men of your seed, and the women too, I guess, through the men. Did you get all that? Because I am out of here.
Verse 12. Now after the Lord had withdrawn from speaking to me and withdrawn his face from my face, yeah, I actually saw his face, y'all. Did I tell you that he has a face and beautiful eyes and a beard and pretty decent breath? After he took off, I said in my heart, thy servant has sought thee earnestly. Now I have found thee.
Verse 13.
Thou didst send thine angel to deliver me from the God of Elkanah, like I talked about in chapter 1. So since you did that, I guess I'll go ahead and hearken unto thy voice, because I love hearkening. It's my favorite. Therefore, let thy servant, me, the real Abraham, rise up and depart in peace.
Verse 14.
So I, the real Abraham, rose up and departed in peace, as the Lord said unto me, and Lot with me, the son of my brother, remember. And I, the real Abraham, was really 62 years old when I departed out of Haran. Just for those of you keeping track at home.
Verse 15.
And I took Sarai, whom I took to wife when I was in Ur in Chaldee, and Lot, my brother's son, and all our substance that we had gathered, and the souls that we had won in Haran. Not their bodies, just their souls. Don't ask how that happened. And came forth in the way to the land of Canaan, and dwelt in tents as we came on our way. And no, Randy, I don't mean anything sexual by that, just because I said the word tent. Don't even ask me if we had camels.
Verse 16.
Therefore, eternity was our covering and our rock and our salvation as we journeyed from Haran by the way of Jershon to come to the land of Canaan. Don't ask me what I mean by that. I just think it sounds pretty neat.
Verse 17.
Now I, the real Abraham, built a real altar in the land of Jershon, and I made a real offering unto the real Lord, and prayed that the famine might be turned away from my father's house, that they might not perish. And since I already told you in verse 5 that the famine had abated, I was pretty confident that this prayer to make the abated famine end would be pretty easy for God to do.
Verse 18.
And then we passed from Jershon through the land unto the place of Shechem. It was situated in the plains of Moreh, and we had already come into the borders of the land of the Canaanites, and I offered sacrifice there in the plains of Moreh too, and called on the Lord devoutly, because we'd come into the land of this idolatrous nation through all these other lands. And trust me, there's a good reason why I'm spelling all this out in so much detail.
Verse 19.
Because this is where the Lord appeared to me again in answer to those other prayers. And he said unto me,
remember when I said I'd give you a land? Well, look around. This is it. Take it. It's yours, baby.
Verse 20.
And I, Abraham, arose from the place of the altar which I had built unto the Lord, and removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched my tent there. Randy, stop snickering. With Bethel on the west, and High on the east. And there I built another altar unto the Lord, and called again upon the name of the Lord. Because, I don't know, I just sort of love building altars and calling to the Lord. Keep in mind, this was before iPhones.
Verse 21.
And I, the real Abraham, journeyed, going on still towards the south. And there was a continuation of famine in the land, which I don't really get it, because, you know, it had abated, and I prayed to God to keep it abated, and he told me how much he really liked me, and how the things I did for him he would do unto me, and I was all like, dude, Lord, what about all these altars and prayers I keep doing for you? I mean, that's sort of the opposite of giving you a famine, right? So what's the deal? But he didn't appear to me this time, so I, the real Abraham, concluded to go down to Egypt, to sojourn there, for the famine became very grievous, which, in hindsight, is probably why God kept the famine in the first place, to get me to go to Egypt. Because I probably wouldn't have gone if he had just told me to go, even though I've pretty much done everything he's told me to do so far, even without being forced to do it by a famine. But wait a minute, what?
Verse 22.
And it came to pass that anyway, when I was come near unto Egypt, the Lord said unto me,
Behold, Sarai, thy wife, is a stone-cold fox, and a very fair woman to look upon. Trust me, I'm omniscient. I've seen them all. Seriously, what a bod. Zowie.
Verse 23.
Therefore, it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see her, they'll be like all, Dude, look at his hot wife. Let's kill him so she'll be single. Then maybe we got a shot. And then they will. They'll just kill you, so she'll be single, so maybe they'll have a shot. Therefore, look, see that you do on this wise.
Verse 24.
Let her say unto the Egyptians that she is thy sister, and thy soul shall live. Because look, I'm just going to go ahead and wait for a couple thousand years for one of your seed, a super righteous dude named Moses, who we'll talk about later, to give all these commandments about not lying and stuff. But even then, we'll make it sort of a case-by-case commandment for the most righteous and chosen and big of important of my chosen peoples. Because, I don't know, sometimes I might want you guys to lie.
Verse 25.
And it came to pass that I, Abraham, told Sarai, my wife, all that the Lord had said unto me. Therefore, say unto them, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well for me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And I know that I'm going to leave you all kind of hanging right now, wondering what's going to happen next, but my hands got a little sore from all this writing, so I'm just going to go ahead and end it here, because, I mean, it's sort of obvious that I survived, right? Or else, who would be writing this whole story here? That Joseph Smith guy? Come on, I mean, he only had like a second grade education, he's totally illiterate, he couldn't write anything like this. I mean, look at what this is. So we'll come back to the story in chapter 3 another time. Later.
Hi, this is Debbie from South Jordan, Utah. I've listened to Infants on Thrones since the first episode, mostly to hear Glenn.
Yeah.
I'm a true fan. Mm-hmm. I enjoy his quick wit, kind heart, and brilliant mind, and that I haven't had to change his diapers for a very long time.
Despite all the shit.
My lived experience?
Yeah.
I'm his mom. You can comment on this episode on the website, infantsonthrones.com, and if you really like what you hear, give the Quorum a 5-star rating and write a short review on iTunes. I did.
Did you really?
Anyone for closing prayer?
But did you really, though?
Not yet, but I will before.
Oh, come on.
And just a reminder for anyone listening to this before July 31st, 2015, don't forget that Infants on Thrones will be presenting a live presentation at Sunstone in Utah.
At the University of Utah.
So check our website for details. We'd love to see you there. But mostly, we'd love to not see a bunch of empty seats. Because that might make us sad. And then maybe we wouldn't do this podcast anymore. So, I guess it's all in your hands. No pressure or anything.
Thank you for listening to Infants on Thrones.